It's 2017. Oh, yeah. I'm getting old. That's why I need to get renewed. Thank you. Thank you, brothers and sisters. And thank you. It's 2016. It's passed. 2017 has come. But our service time still starts at 11:15. That hasn't changed. So please come in before 11:15 so we can start on time. As of today, we're running a little bit behind. But it's okay. We'll catch up. And we're going to talk about new self for a new year. Who has a fabulous 2016? Whoa! Oh, okay. Only one, two, three votes. So this is Sunday. So usually, what do people do in America on Sunday? Go to church in the morning, and then what do you do in the afternoon, Mike? Football! Yeah, Sunday. So we're going to talk about football today. I'm going to talk to you about football, about those fantastic finish. You're watching this game, your team was behind 5 points. 10 seconds left on the clock. The ball was on the 50-yard line. Probably one or two plays before 10 seconds lapsed. The quarterback snapped the ball. He was looking to throw into the end zone. All the defenders were right in front of him. He looked this way, the receiver was covered. Looked the other way, the receiver was covered. Everybody was well covered. And the defenders were right in front of him. 2 seconds left on the clock. A defender reached into his face. And what did he do? He got his ball in his hand. 2 seconds left, the ball left his hand. Was released into the air. What do you do? A lot of people say Hail Mary. That's what they call a Hail Mary pass, right? 2 seconds left. The ball was in the air, shooting into the corner of the end zone. There were lots and lots of defenders, lots and lots of receivers in the end zone. Everybody was trying to catch the ball. The defenders were trying to catch it so they can win the game. The receivers were trying to catch it so they can win the game also. 2 seconds left. The ball was throwing, hanging, dropping. Everybody was jumping up in the end zone, trying to catch the ball, raise up their hands. And then what happened? Few people were trying to catch it. Some defender get a hand of the ball, get ticked, flipped into the air again. 2 seconds had long gone again. Time was over. But the play is still in act. Still going on, still active. People are still trying to catch that ball. And then one of the receivers jumped up, caught the ball with one hand, tried to have possession of it while he was in the air. He landed 1 foot on the ground, 2 foot on the ground, 2 feet actually. It was inbound. The catch was good. He was inbound. So what is it? Touchdown, right? Your team has just made the most fabulous play of the game. Touchdown. After the time was out, expired. Win by 1 point. So what was your reaction? No reaction? Gosh. I would have jumped up, embraced. Yeah, we won! I'm going to have a difficult time because you guys are not with me. I guess most of you don't watch football. You don't know much enough about football. Maybe I need to talk about basketball. Yao Ming, huh? Last shot in the air. But no, we're going to stay with football. This is the American sport. If you haven't learned it, learn a little bit. You will like it. But still, it was called one of those fantastic finish. Your team won by 1 point. The clock has expired. Everybody was elated. Everybody was in exhilarating joy because their team won. When you watch the TV, they're going to replay this game in slow motion for 20, 50 times. Because, oh, this is, ooh, he caught, 1 foot in, toes down. It was good. It was touchdown. You know why I'm talking about this exhilarating joy? Have you ever experienced this kind of joy in your life? besides watching football? I see nodding in your head. As a Christian believer, as a follower of Christ, have you ever experienced this kind of exhilarating joy in your Christian life? Have you said, "Oh God, thank you, I love you"? Have you ever done that? You haven't? Nobody say yes? I see noddings. I see noddings. Hands raised. I see hands raised. See? Congratulations. This is what Christians are supposed to be. God has given us joy. Not even just joy. He wants our joy to be complete. He wants us to have complete joy. Don't trust me. It's in the Bible. He wants us to have complete joy. Exhilarating joy. So if you're a seasoned Christian, you haven't experienced this kind of exhilarating joy in your life so far with God, today's message is for you. If you're a new believer or baby Christian, and you want to experience this kind of exhilarating joy in your life, this message is for you. And if you're still seeking, want to be a believer, want to trust God, and want to believe Christ is the Son of God, and He is our Savior, and this message is definitely for you. Because after this, you will know what kind of joy you have when you become a Christian. I've seen a lot of people raise hands already, so you probably know what I'm talking about. But personally, I experienced this kind of joy twice in the last month. First was 3 weeks ago. Bro, I wanted my family to come to worship with me as a family for the first time. We prayed. Pastors, brothers and sisters all prayed for my family that they would come. It was quite an anxiety moment for me at that day. 11:15, door was closed. I saw my elder daughter Jasmine and my sister-in-law Trudy, but I still haven't yet seen my wife and my younger daughter Sienna. The MC came up, worship songs went by. It was like 11:25, 11:30, and my wife and my daughter hasn't shown up yet. It's just like the 10 seconds on the time clock in the football game. Time was running out. I was able to go on stage and speak. Suddenly, I saw the door open. God answered my prayer. I said, "Thank you, Lord, thank you." I saw my wife and my younger daughter. The reason why it's so important to me is because first time we worship together, and my wife is out of town most of the weekends, 51 out of 52 weekends. And it happened to be that Sunday, he came back the night before at 2 o'clock in the morning, actually the morning. He came back like 2 o'clock, and then he made it, and then she made it. And then what happened is they get lost driving here, so they were late. But God answered the prayer. The door was closed. We were worshiping, just like the time clock in the game. It was over, but it was delivered. By who? By God. He answered prayers. So this was one of those exhilarating moments. Another one was exhilarating because I personally experienced God transform a person who doesn't believe in God, give her peace, and open her heart on Christmas Day. It was a sad ending story, but also a good ending story. The day before Christmas, my mother-in-law had a heart attack. She was so afraid to go to the hospital. She was so afraid, and she didn't want to go to the hospital. But she had a heart attack, so the ambulance took her to the hospital. So we tried to calm her down and say, "You got to check things out to see what's going on." So they put a heart pacer in her, and the doctor said she'll be fine. I mean, this is nothing major. And she'll be out in the from the ICU in a day or two. So on Christmas Day, I got a privilege to spend pretty much most of the day with her because everybody was still thinking, okay, she'll be fine, she'll be out of the ICU in no time. But my mother was so worried. She was so afraid of death. She didn't want to go to the hospital. She doesn't like it at all. It's all uncertainty. She was an unbeliever. So she doesn't know about Christ. I mean, we're still talking to her. She knows what I'm doing because she always teases me. Oh, you're going to study this book. So you'll be a teacher. I say, oh, yeah, sometimes later, maybe 10 years from now. But she always teases me. We all have a good time. But that day, she was so afraid. When I get there in the morning, she was ready to go home. Hey, George, let's get my shoes. I want to dress up. Let's go home. I said, yeah, you get fixed up. But the doctor need to do some more tests and make sure your condition is stabilized before you can go home. So I start holding her hands, reading the Bible with her, and we read Genesis together. We actually read it sentence by sentence. I read one sentence, she would repeat one in the exact wordings. She didn't miss even one word. We read Genesis 1, 2, 3. We had a good time. It's like we started singing and we prayed with her. And she finally calmed down. God had transformed her in front of me. Or he has used me to give peace to her. She trusted me, and I told her, just stay in the hospital for 2 more nights, then you'll be out. And she promised, and she said yes. When I left her that evening around 7, she was in good mood. She was still having smiles. Instead of those anxiousness, feeling those uncertainties, she was at her peace. She has peace in mind. She has joy in herself. God has transformed this person right in front of me in a few hours. And 6 o'clock in the morning, the following morning, I got a call. It's not good. We need to be in the hospital if we want to see her. Halfway there, she was in Southwest Houston. So halfway there, around midtown or downtown, I got a call again. She passed away. But when I went to her, she looked calm, peace. And with her love still flowing through her, I say my final goodbye. I'm not sure she is a believer or not. I hope so. But I do thank God that he has transformed this person. Bring him out of anger, danger, anxiety, calm her down, and let her have a final peace on earth. So praise the Lord. I say thank you again. So from now on, when you see me, I say thank you. I really say thank you. Because God is so good to me. And thank God is good to everybody, not only me. Give him a chance to be in your heart. That's why we want to be renewed. So for those who had a fabulous 2016, we can continue to grow. For those who hasn't had a fabulous 2016, you better listen. Give the Spirit a chance to work in your heart. Let his word settle in your mind. And let him transform you to be a new self in a new year, in 2017. This is the message. New self. Put down your old self and put on your new self. So as you all know, New Hope Christian Church, which we call NHCC, our mother church is WHCC, which is West Houston Chinese Church. We have a vision. Well, actually, both churches have a vision from last year. So flowing out of the W's church planting DNA, which has this vision of transforming generations. It contains three major components that will challenge us to grow both in our faith and in our generosity. Three areas are discipling, equipping, and planting. And then you may ask, what is it going to do with me renewing myself? Before we can disciple somebody, we need to disciple ourselves. We need to look in ourselves, learn and equip. So that's what we need to disciple ourselves first. And then we'll disciple others. Then we can equip others. Then we can plant churches. So let's start by transforming our hearts. How do we do that? Easy. Seeking things above. Separating from sins. Self-renewing. 3S. It doesn't make sense to me. Seek things above. I'm on earth. What am I doing? Let's read this together. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Let's read together. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not only things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Well, when you look at the first four verses, it said, you have been raised with Christ and died. What did it mean? When we accept Christ, we die with him. Die is die, is dead. Christ died on the cross for us. He paid for the sins. He will not pay for the sins. He died to sin. That's why he can overcome the power, the control of sin. He overpowers sin. So when we get baptized, when we accept Christ, we die with Christ. And then we have been raised with Christ because, as you all know, Christ came back in 3 days. He was raised up by God in 3 days. When we are Christian followers, we are also raised up with Christ. We are in his body. We are in him. We are raised up with him. We can have eternal life with him. We also have the power to overcome the control of sin. We are free from the bondage of sin. That's already happened if you're a Christian. If it hasn't happened, then probably chances are you are not a Christian yet or Christ follower. But you are truly professed and confessed Christian. Then you have died with Christ and have been raised with Christ. That's past. Then you have set your minds on things that are above. That's present. Now, we are in Christ. That's why we have to set the things above. Why? You may ask, why? Because where is Christ? Where is Christ? Christ is in verse 1, seated at the right hand of God. Where is God? God is above and beyond and everywhere. But heaven is above. We only not seek things that are on earth. It's a good thing that you want to do good in school, do good in life, have a big house. But sometimes blessing can be a curse. You get a big house, but get no home to go to, that's a cursing. Ask God to bless you. And don't let it be a curse to you. That's why you did ask things about. I'll go into more specific later. But now you have to ask, so what happened in the future? And you will appear with him in glory. So when Christ comes back again, because we are in Christ, Christ is in our lives, then we will have our glorified bodies. And we'll be in glory with him together. You will see in these four verses, with Christ, Christ is, with Christ, Christ who is your life, will appear with him, which is also Christ in glory. As a Christian, it's all about Christ. We're in Christ. Christ is in us. It's all about Christ. Jesus Christ. Christ is all and in all. I don't like smoking. So whenever I see people smoke, I try to stay away from them. That doesn't mean I don't like the people. I just don't like smoke. If they don't smoke, then I go back to those people and hug them and say hello to them and what. But I don't like smoke, so I try to stay away from smoke. So when we get baptized in Christ, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And Christ never sinned in his life, right? Did he ever sin? No. Did he like to sin? Of course not, because he never sinned. If he likes it, he probably did. He doesn't like it. So what happened in Christ is in us. And when we sin, it's just like when I see people smoke. Christ may not be with me all the time if I start sinning. That's why we need to refrain from all sins and be welcoming to Christ. If not, Christ will get further and further away from us. So how do we put away our sins? Next thing is separating from sins, because we are born in a sinful nature. But as we died in a baptism, when we died with Christ, when we accepted Christ, we have the power to be separated from sins. And God has forgiven all our sins. Our past, present, and future is all forgiven. Just let him be with you. Let him forgive your sins. So how do we separate from sins? First is put to death what is earthly or lustful sins. Those are sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. These are all the lustful sins. If you have a tree at your backyard, and you see a brown branch with brown leaves, it's not growing, what would you do? Probably I would cut it off and let the other tree grow, the other parts of the tree grow. So the other parts of the tree will get all the nutrients and grow more. As a person, if my blood circulation in my leg is not good due to narrowed, destroyed, or damaged arteries, all the cells around that area will die. If I go to a doctor with that condition, most of the doctors recommend me to have an amputation to cut off the leg instead of letting the cells spread into other areas and affect the whole body, so my whole body will die. Same as Christ. He said, you need to take care of yourself. Do not sin. You have the power to leave them behind. He has put death to all your sins, your sexual sins, lustful sins. I have watched pornography before. I'm ashamed of it. I've done a lot of crazy things, have a lot of crazy thoughts. When I get baptized, they were all put to death. But still, they come back once in a while. I have to put them to death. Get separated from them. If not, Christ will separate from me again. So I encourage you to think about if you have some lustful sins, some evil desires, whatever it is, think about it. Confess and repent. I'm sure you probably don't have any lustful sins. I'm a sinner. I'm not proud of it, but thanks God I have the courage to admit it so I can do something about it. And then also put away relational sins, or what they call social sins. That is angry, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Oh, those are good. Is that really sin? I get angry, I get sin? Yes. How come God get angry and he didn't sin? God gets angry when we rebel against his word, when we don't trust him. That's why he gets angry at us. But when we get angry is, when I get angry is, I don't get the things I want and I get angry. But the world is strange. When I get angry at church, at any social place, it'll be fine. If a church member ever gets into committing a sensual sin, like adultery or whatever, everybody will blame on you, oh, shame on you, shame on you, sin, 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 sin. But when I'm in a meeting, I get angry, I start yelling at people. People will start saying, oh yeah, give him a break. He had a bad day. Give him a chance to lash out. And we will be forgiving them. And we'll be lying to God because those are sins. As Christians, we are not supposed to be angry, saying bad words, saying the F word, obscene calls, obscene words. And people say, oh yeah, people say it all the time. Why can't I say it? Of course you can say it. You just start rebelling against God. It's God's word. When God says it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. God is righteous. He is the only truth. When God says it's wrong, and God says you sin, then you sin. No argument. Black and white. Sin or righteous. And we humans come up with so many creative things. When we see people get angry at meetings, we tell, oh yeah, this is what we call righteous indignation. They get the right to do it. But it's actually a sin. We justify them. Gosh, we are creative. Besides sins, we need to talk about renewing ourselves in the new year. Self-renewing. That doesn't mean you reproduce yourself. I'm just renewing yourself, your own self. Our old selves have died. This is what we're going to talk about. Let's read this together. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with his practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Okay, first it said, okay, start renewing yourself. The first thing is do not lie. Do not lie. What is lie? Because Satan is a liar. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. When you lie, when you don't tell the truth, then you are associating yourself with who? Satan, the devil. When you tell the truth, you are associating yourself with the Holy Spirit of truth. What is a lie? If my watch is wrong and I tell you the wrong time, am I lying? Chances are not, because I have every intention to tell you the right time. It just happened that my watch is wrong. So what is a lie? I tell you all the right words. How come it's a lie? A lie is when you have the intention to deceive someone to gain or to look good. Then it is a lie. Even say, I like you, and deep inside my heart, I say, I really hate that guy. I say, I like you. Then I'm lying. The words are right, but the incentive, the motives are wrong. Then it is a lie. I have every intention not to tell the truth. When I say I love you, I don't really mean I love you. Then it's a lie. You can tell the difference when I say I love you and I love you. It's the intention, whether I love you or not, I like you or not. There's an old saying, half a fact is a whole lie. That's why when you go to court and make a vow before you testify, you say and you vow, you tell everything about the truth nothing except the truth. You tell the whole truth. Whole truth is truth. A little bit of not exactly the truth is lie. I was reading Acts the other day, in Acts 5, it was, there'll be a big challenge to everybody. I can't remember the whole story, but Acts 5 was when a couple sold their property and gave the land, sold actually the land and property and gave the money back to church, to Peter. And the couple's name was Ananias and Sapphira. They sold the land, the property, and kept part of it to themselves. And they told Peter that they have gave every penny they have from their selling to the church. Of course, they lied. What did Peter tell them? You are not lying to man. You're lying to God. So what happened to the husband, Ananias? He dropped down and died. And when the wife came back later, Sapphira came back later, and Peter asked her the same question. Did you give all the money from the proceeds to the church? She said yes. And she died also. Lying is a sin, and it will kill you. So start renewing yourself by stop lying. Do not lie. Let me ask you a hypothetical question. If God still strikes down people, kill them when they lie, where do you think I would be today? If God still struck down people when they lied, where would I be today? If God still struck down people who lied, I told you I'm a liar, I'm a sinner, so where would I be? Right now, if God still struck people who lied, I can honestly tell you I will be preaching to all of you in hell. It's not funny, because there's only one true God. You only come to accept God when you are alive, or you can come to accept God when you are in hell. So don't lie. Put off your old self. Your old self is my sinful nature, which is controlled by sin. And then have put on the new self, because God has forgiven our sins. And we have the power to not sin, to tell what is right, what is wrong, what is God's word, what is God's will. So what's the difference between old self and new self? Just quick comparison. The old self has died with Christ. And what's the new self? Has been raised up with Christ. We are resurrected. We have an eternal life with Christ now. Old self is ruled by sin. New self is free from the bondage of sin. We don't have to sin. You may, but you don't have to. You're free from the bondage. Last, we're separated from Christ. Now we're intimately joined with Christ, because Christ is in us. Christ is in us. That's what we call Christians. So put off your old self. It's just like taking all your dirty clothes and put on your clean clothes. So after you do that, why would you go to the dirty laundry and pick up your old clothes and start wearing your dirty clothes again? I don't see why, but if you want to, that's your choice. Go back to your dirty laundry, pick up the old dirty clothes, and start wearing your dirty clothes and start walking around and pretend you're wearing your clean clothes. So we need to be renewed. We talk about renewal. So first, you need to put down your old self, accept your new self, and start renewing. Being renewed in knowledge. Because you said, have put off, have put on, those are in the past already. Present perfect tense. Even though it's still alive, it's past. But being renewed is not you renew yourself. It's being renewed by the knowledge. It's the present. It's ongoing. As Christian, we need to be renewed. By who? How? In knowledge, after the image of the Creator. So what is knowledge? You know the image of his creator. Creator is God, Christ. So the image, we are created in the image of God. So what is knowledge of Christ? Knowledge of God. I know God. It's just like I know Obama. I know his name. I know his existence. Do I know him personally? No. When you know Christ, what do you mean? You know Christ's existence? You know Christ is a person? You know Christ is a God? Or do you know Christ personally? You have a relationship with him. How Christ is. Knowledge of him means not only knowing his existence, it's also knowing him personally, have an intimate relationship with him. Because if you don't, this is not going to happen. These are people who said they know Christ. I'm going to read this real fast. Matthew 6, 21 to 23. You can read along if you like, but I'm going to read it real fast. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, who entered the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, of evildoers. These are people who claim they know Christ. They prophesied, they taught, they do miracles. But not everyone can enter into the kingdom because not everybody really knows Christ, have a personal relationship with him. Only people who has a personal relationship with Christ can enter the kingdom. Not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven, even though you said you know him. Because Christ said, I never knew you. So how can we know God? How can we know Christ? We start to develop two major things. Actually three, but I only have time for two today. Prayers, Bible reading, and worship. First, we talk about prayers. This is a wonderful verses. Jabez. Jabez is a person. We don't know much about him because of the whole Bible, there's only two verses that talk about him. But when Jesus, or when Jabez prayed, God listened. His prayer is so great, so effective, that everybody needs to pay attention. Let me read it real fast. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. It was so popular, people back in 2001 bought 9,000 copies of the book written on these two verses because they want to know how to pray effectively. How come God answered this prayer immediately? Let's take a look at it real quick. It's a real simple prayer. It's just one sentence. For those who have, oh, I get no time to pray. Look at Jabez. One sentence. God answered. This is how powerful a prayer can be, how effective a prayer can be. He said, bless me, enlarge my border, your hands might be with me, keep me from harm, four requests. And then God granted. Wow, what happened? He is precise, he knows what he wants. Sure. God granted what he asked. So why? I have the same question, that's why I keep digging and digging and keep looking and keep reading and keep praying the same thing too. God bless me indeed. First, Jabez called upon the God of Israel. When you call, you don't say, God, you want people to listen. When you call the name, you want people to respond. So how you got God's attention. He called out to God. That means he prays out loud. Call to God. Bless me indeed. Okay, indeed is not in ESV for a translation. It's in the King James and also NASB translation. But what is bless me indeed? God has a choice to bless anyone. If I am painful enough, I'm desperate enough, I will ask God to really bless me. Get me out of this pain. Get me out of this danger. Get me out of this fiasco. Bless me indeed. Please bless me. I know you can bless everybody, but please bless me now. I need it now. Bless me indeed. This is what it is. And then most importantly is, it's not only blessing me, then I forget about you. Your hand might be with me. God keeps walking with me. I need God to be with me. God's hand with me. So when God blesses me, I can also bless his name. His name can be blessed. His name can be glorified. Be with me all the time. It's just like Moses in Exodus 33. When God told Moses to go to the promised land by himself, Moses pleaded with God. No, God, you got to come. You don't come, I don't go. You come, I go. This is the sincerity. It's the honesty. It's the heartfelt prayers that God will listen. Moses changed God's heart. God promised to go with them. And in here, Jabez really talked to God and let his feeling be felt by God. And God listened and delivered and granted what he asked for. Pray. Doesn't have to be long. Be genuine. Be specific. And don't leave God out of the picture. Blessing is for you, for everybody, and also for God, not just for yourself. And it's Bible reading. Okay. In Matthew chapter 4:4, it said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you just live by food, it's okay, you won't starve to death. But if you just don't feed on the spiritual word, spiritually you gradually die. Because why? Because if we don't have a personal relationship with God, we'll count on community service. We count on coming to church. We count on serving the church or serving other people. Then we feel good. After that, after a while, you won't feel joy at all because you feel like you're obligated to do it because you never have a relationship with God. Because community and service can be duplicated outside the church. You can go to whatever services and put in your hours, and then you will feel good. But it's not about God. It's not about Christ. You never know him. Because we're constantly bombarded by temptations. We saw all the billboards when we're driving. We see the commercials on the TV. It's just like if we don't keep on reading the Bible, we're going to die. Let me give you a short example. A few years ago, my computer was hacked by a virus program. I couldn't use it because every time I turn it on, it was hijacked, taken hostage. Not until that day I pick up a real powerful, real-time virus protection program. The program kills the virus, keep it protected, 24/7, and now I'm still using it. It's the same as when we walk into the world, we see all these temptations. Designer footwear, especially those with red leather on the sole, you have to raise up your foot so people say, oh, you're wearing $1,000 pair of shoes. I don't want to mention the name. It has something to do with Christ. You know what I'm talking about. all those designer handbags, luxurious cars, whatever it is, people, they're living in such a mansion. I wish I could have been there. All those temptations. It's not that getting rich is bad. It's just the temptations. Because if my desire is wrong, then I will start doing crazy things, stealing, cheating, whatever, stealing, whatever it takes to get my desires fulfilled. We constantly bombarded. It's just like the virus keep attacking my computer. Once I have that virus program on, it's protected. So when you start reading the Bible, you keep being transformed in God's Word, then we have all the weapons to fire off all the viruses, all the temptations from the devil. So that's why we need to spend at least a few minutes a day with God, just to read His Word. So the church is really recommending you to adopt to our 3-4-5 Bible reading. Oh, you may ask, what is 3-4-5? 3-4-5 actually stands for 3 minutes 45 seconds. If you spend 3 minutes 45 seconds every day reading the Bible, you'll finish the whole Testament in 2017. So what is 3 minutes and 45 seconds to you? It's like listening to one song or singing one song in the shower. Or if you're an athlete, it's just like running half a mile. Or if you like me, like to brush my teeth every day, it's just like brushing my teeth twice a day. If you can spend that time, 3-4 minutes reading the Bible and a minute in prayer, 5 minutes a day, you'll be renewing yourself in no time. Don't let time constrain you. 5 minutes is all you need. Read the Bible in 4 minutes. Pray like Jabez. 5 minutes out of your life. I encourage you to do that. I was once a baby Christian. What is a baby Christian? A baby Christian is like a baby. Cannot feed himself. Got to drink milk. So when I was a baby Christian, I drank spiritual milk. As I have progressed and grown lately, then I become a toddler. What is a toddler? A toddler is start walking, start speaking, and diaper trained. I may still have accidents, but I'm trying to prevent that. So if you've been a believer a long time, and you still think you have no joy in becoming a Christian, I recommend you and strongly encourage you to start reading the Bible. If you're still a baby Christian after years of walking, have never experienced those exhilarating joy in you, God, I thank you. I love you. I seriously encourage you to take a look and start renewing yourself. What does Christian Christ means to you? You've never experienced that, I'm sorry to say, even though you've been baptized for 10, 20, 15, 30 years, you are still a baby Christian. You are still in your diapers. You still need to be fed. But God's will is we are supposed to teach. We are supposed to grow. We share our knowledge. We're supposed to preach His Word, teach His Word, so everybody can know the hope. So read the Bible for by yourself, with your wife, with your brothers and sisters, with your family. If you've read it before, read it in another translation. If you can't find anybody in your family you can read with, find a brother and sister who is willing to read with you. Read. Pray and read. This is all it is. So 3-4-5 reading plan actually started last week. So for this week, you only have already five days a week. You still have Saturday and Sunday off. Each day a chapter. Monday, John 6. Tuesday, John 7. Wednesday, 8. Thursday, 9. Friday, 10. And on Saturday, you can do a summary and tell me what you have read. If you don't have a Bible, come and talk to me, and I'll get you the Bible. Seriously. I got those tons of those in my trunk. So just come and get it. So transform our hearts, transform ourselves so we can transform our neighbors, our family, our church, seeking things above, separating from sins, And most of all, self-renewing, which is by studying the Word and praying every day. Thank you.